Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
What's up, incredible, loved, and valued humans? I am so thankful for your life, and I'm so thankful to be a part of your life in the way of a fun podcast. I am your host, Emma Mae McDaniel, and this is going to be a really special message talking about postpartum, as I am now 8 weeks postpartum, yeah. And Josh is here because
I am now 8 weeks postpartum.
He has played such a role in the way my postpartum journey has gone, so it just made sense for him to be on here. But friends, I'm excited. Grab your headphones and let's talk about postpartum.
Man, I'm so thankful you have me on this podcast today. I'm so excited to impart all my wisdom of my journey through postpartum.
It's no, really though. What is your experience of postpartum been? Because yes, you didn't have the baby, but I mean, our rhythm and routine has changed in such a major way.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, postpartum is definitely a term for I feel like more, and I could be wrong, but more for the person who gave birth.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, I'm not saying I'm going through any postpartum.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm just asking, as I've gone through postpartum and as we both experienced like a newborn,
yeah,
being in the house, like, and being ours, like we're not just, sure, babysitting, but she's our little girl. We are her parents.
Yeah,
like,
we are.
How has that transition been?
It is awesome. It really is. Margot is the best. Like, we have the best child. Just anybody out there.
I'm obsessed with her.
We got first this year, so we have the best child. Maybe next year. But love that girl to death. It's a new journey. There's nothing like it, and it's, mm-hmm, hard to explain because there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Getting Remy is fun. But having a baby is so much more fun, and it's so sweet. Now it's hard, and it's fighting for survival. Like, you are in survival mode for the first, weeks and months and sometimes years. But, like, in that survival mode, it's not like it's the worst type talk in the survival mode. It's like, oh, it's the best. It's, yeah, so fun.
Yeah.
I probably slept about 2 hours last night. I get to snuggle this little girl in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm really, like,
that, babe.
I'm really upset right now, but, like, and I'm tired and I'm cranky and I'm hungry and our house is just in shambles, but I love this little girl and, yeah, I love you. And I think that's the fun thing of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not of a, man, this is the worst and I hate it and I never want to do it again, but it's like, this is the best and it's so hard.
Yeah. Because it requires sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Like, you're sacrificing time that, mm-hmm, you used to just have an ample amount of.
Yeah.
And you're sacrificing sometimes sleep. And you're, yeah, sacrificing routine. And you have to shift what you say yes to and, yeah, what you say no to. In the sense of just, like, just going out and for meeting a friend for coffee, yeah, or
playing
a
golf,
date night. Like, all of those. Like, I still go get coffee with my friend, mm-hmm, and we still have date nights. You still go play golf, but it's different.
Yeah, but
we
my
have to
golf
plan
game
more.
Is just not as good anymore. So it's not really the same. It's not the same. So I sacrificed that. What did you sacrifice?
Well, I really did want to hear, because I know that as I've been navigating postpartum, yeah, you have helped me in so many ways, especially because I did have a C-section, and for, yeah, the first like 2 weeks I couldn't even sit up on my, no, own. And so, like, I'm so thankful my mom came and stayed with us the first week, but, like, yeah, you and my mom were helping me take care of the baby, and you and mom were taking care of me.
Yeah.
And I'm just so thankful, because I really feel like the fact that you were there making me meals, sure, and helping me sit up and changing diapers when I couldn't. And the bassinet was on your side of the bed, mm-hmm, for a really, really long time so that, yeah, you could lean over and get her for me to feed her. Like, yeah, you made it so, like, so much more seamless,
yeah,
because there was a lot actually that I couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever, like, the end of week two came and I was able to have a little bit more mobility in my core, like just some strength.
Sure.
I can't like tell you enough. I was so excited to change her diaper.
Yeah.
I was so excited, yeah, to burp her. I was so excited to do things that like I just didn't have the strength to do. And it honestly brought me so much joy getting to like give her a new diaper and change her outfit and all those things.
Yeah, that it is sweet. And mm-hmm, that is extremely hard because you just had your child and then they're like, don't pick up your child, like don't pick up more than your child, I guess. But and that's just really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that we bought a new bed frame literally like,
oh yeah,
weeks before you gave birth. And we got one of them nice bed frames that like set up.
Yeah, it that was on sale.
Man, that was nice because it was 3 a.m. You're not one to sit up. And I was just like, let me just push this button real quick and I'll just sit on right on up. And so, yeah, that was
before that we was knew huge. So, C-section was going to happen.
Yeah. So, yes, me, your mom, and the bed all helped you sit up and take care of yourself.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, it's fun. But, Emma, like, postpartum is, it's a controversial topic because everybody thinks that they know how your child should be raised and everybody knows exactly how, yeah, your child should be fed or, mm-hmm, not fed or this fed or whatever or sleep or not sleep or wear this outfit and not that outfit. So Emma, how has been raising a child in postpartum been? What controversies? What are you doing? How's feeding going? How's growth going? All the different stuff. Are you sleeping?
I am sleeping.
Okay, good.
Actually, good. I'm so thankful because our baby is sleeping. I'm sleeping. Yes. That is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think the Lord, he's continued to sanctify me in this area my entire life.
Yeah.
Like, I can refer back to seasons in middle school, high school, college, singleness, dating, so many seasons in my life,
yeah,
where he has slowly but surely, so graciously uprooted this fear of what people think in me.
Yeah.
And I've seen him continue to so graciously do that as I now have a little girl because there are so many opinions. And yeah, it's so easy to just subconsciously think, oh, but if I make this decision, so-and-so won't be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, if I make this decision, what if they don't agree? Or if I make this decision, say I decide to bottle feed and a picture of me bottle feeding my baby is posted on social media, and then what if people disagree that I chose to do that? And what are they gonna think? Like, when that almost subconsciously becomes a filter by which I make my decisions, I need to step back and reevaluate. And yeah, the Lord has so patiently helped me and still is learn how to do that. Like,
yeah,
my mom gave me such good advice. She said a lot of people would give you advice, but that doesn't mean you have to take every piece of advice you're given.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been a really helpful tool for me, that I'm so thankful for all the advice. I'm so thankful that you are choosing to raise your baby the way that you are,
yeah,
because like you decided that that was best for you and your baby, you and, mm-hmm, your family. And I respect that with my whole being,
yeah,
but I'm not going to let fear of what you think because I want to do something different be, yeah, the filter by which I make my decision, because then I'm going to look up, have a 10-year-old daughter, and I'm going to reflect back on the last 10 years of her life. And I don't want to say most of the decisions that I made were out of fear of what people, mm-hmm, thought, were out of comparing myself to other moms,
yeah,
were out of a timidity. Like, I want to be a confident mom who yields to the wisdom God has given me and trusts that he's showing me what I need to decide, mm-hmm, for my little girl and for our family.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's definitely been strengthening that because there are a lot of decisions. And I think,
yeah,
they're a lot more complex than I realized they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because before you have a baby and before you had your first baby,
sure,
people would ask, so what do you plan to do for feeding? And I said, well, the plan is breastfeeding. And it's been a lot more complex
oh my
than
goodness
what I thought it was,
yeah,
going to be.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we hop out of the operating room, and of course, Emma had a C-section. If you didn't hear that, that's on last week's podcast. Mm-hmm. You can go and check that out, the birth story. But we come out of the operating room, and immediately a nurse walks in of a lactation consultant, which was very mm-hmm. helpful. It's awesome that they have that. We're there, and pretty much immediately, not immediately, but maybe 30 minutes after trying to breastfeed, mm-hmm. you're handed a nipple shield, which I had never even heard that. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. No clue what that is. It's literally just a thing that goes over your nipple mm-hmm. to mimic a bottle almost, or to help them latch on. And that's a whole nother world. Mm-hmm. are you bare nippled? Are you nipple shield? Are you bottle? Are you breast? And oh my gosh, so there's so much different things, and that's a journey.
Yeah, I think that honestly was something for me. So she responded to the nipple shield great, but then I was wrestling because I honestly felt insecure about it. Yeah. To be so honest, I literally was crying to Josh, and I was like, "Is this real breastfeeding? Or is this?" Is this fake breastfeeding? But I had all those questions and all those emotions running through my mind, because I was what is this? And then I had to step back and I was no, mom's healthy, baby's healthy. She's getting what she needs. I feel like this has been the theme throughout labor, delivery, and postpartum. This isn't what I planned, mm-hmm. but God, I surrender it to you. What is best for my child right now? This is what's mm-hmm. best for her. So yeah, I may feel a little insecure about it, but God, I surrender that to you, because in the grand scheme of things, my daughter, when she's my age, when she's 24 years old, she's not going to look back and say, yeah, my mom fed me with a nipple shield. She's not going to be upset about that. So I don't need to get all worked up and insecure about the fact that this is what it's looking like for us right now. Yeah. And that continued in the feeding journey. Absolutely. Because I ended up being told that my supply was low, because I was told that because it was. So I ended up finding out that my supply was low. And so did power pumping, which I didn't even know what that was until it was time to do it.
I'm not even the one pumping.
That was a lot. And I think I got to the point where I finally got my supply up, which I was so, so thankful, but I got to the point where I was working so hard on my supply, and I was working so hard to keep it. And I think I felt like if I didn't breastfeed my daughter, then I was failing as a mom.
Yeah.
I felt like it was what I was supposed to do. And so in the whole process of trying to get my supply up, we were told to breastfeed her, then follow up with a bottle, and then I were to go pump. So it was a lot day in and day out. It was I was feeding her all day, every day. That was my mm-hmm. day. And I think whenever it got to the point where, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that?
Breastfeeding, doing it the right way. You're talking about you finally getting your supply up.
Yeah, I finally got my supply up. And and in the midst of trying to do that, we had introduced bottles. And
bottles as a dream feed of something, just kind of a little extra top.
But also for the supplementing for every feed.
That's true, because you were power pumping, so we had to give her extra ounce or two at the end of it. So she's getting her. She's meeting her weight requirement, which is a whole nother thing, that she wasn't gaining weight. Uh-huh. And so that was another reason supply was low. And so it's okay, we got to do this now. And it was a whole nother.
So it was all I'd say, it was a lot more complex than I thought. And so whenever I got to the point where I'd been working so hard at it for 2.5 weeks, I met with my lactation consultant, who I also just love. Yeah. She was amazing. She would come to the house and just help me so much. And I got to the point where I was like, I think that I'm trying so hard to make breastfeeding work because I feel like I'm supposed to breastfeed. Not saying it is so, so sweet. And honestly, mm-hmm. I've had to grieve not breastfeeding, because it is something that I had dreamed and planned of doing longer than I did. But I did mm-hmm. it for about a month and a half. And then I got to the point where it just made more sense for us personally to go all in on bottles. Yeah. And Margo was responding great to it, but I was hesitant to go actually bite the bullet and do it, because I felt like I was supposed to breastfeed. And I felt like I was being selfish if I stopped breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I was talking it out with Josh and my mom, and I was like, I don't want to look back and say I kept breastfeeding for X amount of time because I felt like I was supposed to.
Yeah.
I want to look back and say I breastfeed because I wanted to. Yeah. Because that like was a personal decision that I wanted to make, not out of like I feel like I'm supposed to do this.
Sure.
And my mom challenged me. She was like, Emma, what is your definition of selfish? Because yeah. if you think that selfish is doing something that brings you ease, then you have a long road ahead of you in motherhood, because mm-hmm. right now you've checked off the prioritized box, and that is Margo is healthy and getting what she needs. And yeah. if she can get that through a bottle, then this is not selfish of you to decide. Like this yeah. is a well thought out decision that Absolutely. You're making. And so that was helpful for me. I think it brought relief, but then also followed with grief, because I mean, to let go of breastfeeding is just hard, because then you have to like wean your milk, and it's just a lot. This week has honestly been a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also hard because there's so many people around that like a lot of lactation consultants like, or you, well, a lot of lactation consultants don't think that nipple shots are good or bottle feeding is good or anything like that. And then you have like the saying like breast is best, which yes, you got the colostrum, which mm-hmm. is an extremely important part for Margo's growth at the very beginning. But we started just to be able to see the benefit for our own sanity
mm-hmm.
And for Margo's growth, because we wanted her to stay healthy and you to stay healthy, that it was right for mm-hmm. us. And that's really hard, especially because like a lot of people will have mother-in-laws or mothers themselves or family members that like disagree with what you've chosen. And this is in feeding, and this is in every which way of postpartum, like yeah. how they sleep at night to whatever, to what they wear. And man, I think I talked to my sister about this. So I have two older siblings, and they all have kids and are older than I, but obviously they're older siblings. But I talked to them about it, and they said, you know, it comes to the point that it's, I'm choosing to parent this way
mm-hmm.
because that's the way we're parenting. It doesn't mean that my parents were wrong for parenting me a certain way, but I'm choosing to parent my children this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of parents will sometimes feel that way, that if they did bottle feeding and that's just all they did, but then now you're choosing to do breastfeeding and that's all you do, like it doesn't mean they're wrong, doesn't mean you're right, it just yeah. means that's what you chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that comes back to just being confident within yeah. like in like with the Lord and with yourself and with your yeah. family unit. Like I'm gonna listen to advice mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean I have to follow every piece of advice that yeah. I'm given, and I can still respect the people who take the advice that I chose to not take.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that has been, I think feeding has been the hardest part of postpartum for yeah. me, because I just so badly wanted Margo to get what she needed.
Yeah.
And so then to be told that my supply was low, I was like, oh my gosh, like I know this isn't true, but I feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel yeah. like I failed her, because all I want to do is nourish her and give her yeah. what she needs. So then working so hard to build it up, I finally build it up. And then I'm like, at the heart level, why am I yeah, doing this?
Absolutely.
And some moms would get to that point and they're like, because I want to breastfeed. Yeah. Like, this is so worth all this hard work for me. And for me, it's like, well, I mean, 1000% this is worth it, but I'm going to do like another filter of a check. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And yeah. My mom told me, she was like, Emma, nobody can make this decision for you. Like, you're husband can't make it for mm-hmm. you. I can't make it for you. Your lactation consultant can't make it for you. But I am praying that you make your decision out of like confidence and mm-hmm. wisdom, and not out of succumbing to pressure.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful that she prayed that for me, because I think that's what I was battling, was this pressure and this feeling of like, oh, it is also just sad to let it go, because yeah. you do have an emotional connection of like, this is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that has definitely been the hardest part. And with yeah. that came other emotions. I remember one morning I came to you and I was like, I'm tired. Like
yeah.
this is a full day in and day out.
Yeah.
But that leads me to something else that I think I've learned, because in that conversation with you, I told Josh, I was like, I knew that my routine was going to change.
Yeah, because you, I mean, to give an example, you literally would feed.
Yeah.
And then burp her and put her down, and then you'd go pump. And yeah. Then by the time you're done pumping, it's time for her to wake up and feed again.
Yeah.
It was just constant.
It was. It was like 5 or 6 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., just full time. Yeah. And so I was like trying to process out with Josh, like, I am doing so good, and I'm so thankful for this season. I'm soaking it up. But this is a lot. Like, I feel a little overwhelmed. And this was before I was told. I didn't know that this wasn't going to be long term. I wasn't told until a couple of days later that, yeah, what you're doing isn't sustainable. We didn't intend for you to do this for a long mm-hmm. time. I just thought this is what it was. Yeah. So I was just like, this is a lot. And I automatically had to follow up, though, with, but I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. But I love this. But I'm mm-hmm. I'm so enjoying being a mom. And what I'm saying is, like, I was processing out things that were heavy on my heart with Josh, and I felt like I had to explain myself mm-hmm. seconds after.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until postpartum, the gravity of fear of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
Like, I was so afraid that if I told you I was struggling on a given day, or I woke up sad one morning, mm-hmm. that you would think, one of my most trusted people would think, oh yeah, Emma's just having a bad postpartum experience, mm-hmm. or yeah, Emma's struggling. And yeah. like, that was the banner over my head if I said anything, quote unquote, negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this is not healthy because you're supposed to be a safe space for me, and yet I'm not treating it like the safe space that it is. Yeah. And I wanted to share that because God has been bringing me freedom from that. It's taken self-discipline for me to, if I woke up one morning and I was just feeling sad and I needed to talk about it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about this, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to explain myself, because you know, Josh, that I'm thankful.
Yeah.
You know, Josh, that I love being a mom. You know, Josh, that this season is a gift and that I believe it is a gift. So with those foundational things that you know, I'm just going to process out how sad I am right now.
Yeah,
because, and that was hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have a safe place to process just because you were shrouded in fear.
Yeah.
And so that's an easy place for you to continue to almost bottle it up,
mm-hmm.
And not be able to process, which can lead to a very much of a postpartum depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like having somebody there, even if it's a counselor, even if you're paying that person, like mm-hmm. have someone in there to process it out with and continue through that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, though, it's like there's so many things. How's sleeping going? Sleeping going well? I think it's funny that I'm asking you this question.
I know.
Because I'm right there with you. I'm in the bed, but I'm asking it for y'all. So for the listeners, how's sleeping going, Emma?
Sleeping is actually going really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. During the first weeks, we were waking up like every 3 hours. And so I would have to be intentional to nap when she napped during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that this isn't every baby, but she's sleeping really well at night. Which is a blessing. I'm not taking that for granted at all.
We we chose the Baby Wise route. So we did mm-hmm. Baby Wise, and a lot of people obviously do. It's a great book, but we chose that and we follow it pretty religiously.
Yeah.
And that has helped us out and sleeping. And yeah, like Emma just said, like sleeping is something that's, it can differ from child to child. Mm-hmm. We can have our next child and they cannot mm-hmm. sleep at all. Or someone could have a child that's like, yeah, my child sleeps 7-8 hours a night. Like, more power to them. Mm-hmm. That's great. Congratulations. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, that, I think that's something else that a lot of people compare about. And I hate that because mm-hmm. it's like, it's a journey.
Yeah.
There's going to be struggles no matter what. The people that have good sleep at night struggle in other areas as well. So, yeah, I think it's just it's a journey.
I agree. I think also something that I'm learning is, like, I don't know if you'll know what I mean, but like listening to my gut.
Mm.
Like this, like I pray for good judgment. I pray for sound insight. I pray for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for discernment. And I truly believe that the Lord gives that to me.
Yeah.
But I think I easily like second guess myself. And whenever it comes to being a mom and just like making decisions,
mm-hmm.
I think God is teaching me to trust the the common sense and the discernment that he's given me and be more confident about it and not be so timid. Cause this is such a like transparent podcast of things that I'm just learning, but it really can be like, oh no, but what are they going to think when they find out that I made that decision? Mm-hmm. Or like, are they going to think that I'm awkward if I ask for me to hold my baby? Like, like I'm in a room full of family members and I'm missing my baby and I want to hold her.
Yeah.
But is it going to be weird if I go and ask for like, and so I'm just learning, even in those, that's such a simple example, but I'm just learning to not be so timid and actually trust like, no, like God's given me this intuition. He's given me this gut instinct and I'm not going to like second guess it all the time. I'm just going to be more bold.
You have to be bold.
You do.
And I think it's another struggle or something like a struggle, I guess it is the hypersensitiveness. I noticed this in myself. Oh my gosh, I was so sensitive to every breath she had. And I was like, it was everything she did. I was like, is she awake? I'd wake up at 1 a.m. and just like have to go like put my hand on her make sure she and I mean, I for those of you that have kids like that,
you know
it is just like one of those things that you just gotta wait, are they okay? Oh, she's breathing, okay, cool.
So okay, I'm just gonna go check.
That is something that as slowly, of course, they're like, okay, I can relax, she's good, like I don't need to worry. But it takes time and it takes like that. So there's really so does. Many different areas, like fear of what people think, like can I hold my baby when I'm with family? And man, family, we're coming up on the holidays. That's a whole nother topic. For some people, it's like, I just had a baby and I don't want anybody to touch my baby. Or they're like passing around like football. And it's just everybody has their opinion on family days too. So I don't know. It's postpartum is a journey. You're not doing it wrong. You're doing it your way for your child, and you can't really make a wrong decision because that's the way you chose to do it. As long as it's healthy for you, for mom, for dad, for the house, for the baby, for you, mom and dad. You're all doing a great job.
I think too, something that I've loved in postpartum is all of the newborn joys. The way that her little hand will just grip your finger barely make it away, like all the way around your finger, and whenever you pick her up and she's got the little scrunch, like all of the little things that are just her active sleeps when she's sleeping, and then all of a sudden she'll just smile but she's sound asleep. Like there have been so many things that I'm like, I just can't help but think of when the Lord says, when Moses prayed, God teach us to number our days so we may gain a heart of wisdom. I'm like, these days I've been told by people will come and go so quick. And I've honestly loved getting to just take it like day by day and soak up every moment with her. And I think too, that leads me to one more thing I think I want to share. When it comes to postpartum is not, I feel like pressure is a big word in this that I've been sharing, but not feeling pressured to like be out and about by a certain point in time or get back to it. Whatever that may look like. Like, I think it was week 3 and we were talking about going back to church. And I was like, Josh, I just don't feel ready. I think being around all those people would overwhelm me. I'm still sore walking around. I'm not ready. And so we went at 4 weeks and I was like,
Go at 4 weeks or do we go later?
4 or 5 weeks. Yeah, it was one of those. Like, but I was like, this feels so timely. Like, I felt ready. And I'm thankful that I waited until I felt ready. And I think, too, I want to encourage the girl, whether you are in postpartum or you're not, this is very real that I know for a fact, I know that I am beautiful. But there have been times that I have not felt pretty. But that is not just in postpartum. Like, even when before I had my baby body, I like had times that I didn't feel pretty. And I just want to encourage you that just because you feel it doesn't make it factual. You are so beautiful. You are so valued. You are so lovely. And regardless of what you're feeling today, I pray that you don't allow those feelings to dictate the posture of your heart as you navigate today, and that you know God did a really good job whenever he made you. And I pray that you believe that.
Yeah, that's really good. And I agree just a second. What you just said is like, there is such a culture that's like, all right, you had a baby. See you next week. Like, wrap it up. Get your body back. Get your schedule back. Get back to normal. Get outside. Like, act like nothing happened 2 weeks ago. Like, and that's so sad because there's even though it's hard, like we said last podcast, like it's hard, but there's joys in it.
Yeah. I wouldn't trade it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. This is such a gift.
Yeah, it's a sacrifice, but it's a worth it sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think the best things in life come with sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, actually, I think I hear our baby crying right now, so I think this is a good time to end the podcast.
Yeah. Guys, I love y'all so much. I really pray. This was super vulnerable and just talking about how the last 2 months have been in a brief little episode, and I pray that it meets you where you are, that you know you're not alone, that you know how loved you are, and I cannot wait to talk to y'all next week. Bye, guys.
See y'all.